All right, if you've got your Bible, and I hope that you do, join me in John 14. John 14, and we're going to look at verse 27 this morning. So last week, we started this Advent series called God's Gifts for Us This Christmas, and we're thinking of some of the things that God has made available to us, that God has given to us in giving us his son, Jesus Christ. And last week, we talked about hope and what hope is and the importance of hope for us and some of those things. This week, we are talking about peace. In that passage of Scripture from Isaiah, it mentioned that that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You'll remember from, I'm sure, hearing the Christmas story in times past that the angels came and declared peace on earth, goodwill to men. There is this idea of peace surrounding that first Christmas. And I read that and I look at what Christmas is like in the world today and I think something went horribly wrong. Right? Because if there is anything that Christmas season is not in 2024, it's peace. Right? Because at least to me, I think of peace and I think of relaxing and quiet and easygoing. And I will say that in my life, especially in my life as an adult, peace does not happen at Christmas time. Especially as the parent of children, peace does not happen at Christmas time. I kind of talked last week about when I was a kid and that wish book from Sears would come and my sister and I would look through it and mark the things that we wanted. And there is no more Sears wish book because there's barely a Sears anymore. There is an Amazon. Yeah, there you go. She probably has it with her because that's like that is her go-to guide to the Christmas season. Okay, it's in my car then. Amazon has taken the place of Sears in sending out the wish book, and now even though Amazon is a website, they're publishing a printed calendar. Can we think about the weirdness of that? They publish a printed calendar to send out so that your kids can drive you nuts about the things that they want at Christmas, right? I've told Paris, no more than 10 things on your list because otherwise it'll be an entire book. She'll just, write down in her own words the entire Amazon book. And there's that, and then there's all the parties, and then there's all the activities and all the things. And it's not just me, I know, because I've talked to some of you, and you've told me I can't be at this or I can't be at that because we're having a Christmas something or other at whatever it is, and it's just nonstop. There is no peace at Christmas, at least not in that sense of the word. Right? But thankfully, peace is more than just getting time for a break. Peace is more than just lack of noise, although the noise does sometimes get to us, right? Isn't it true that sometimes the most peaceful times during the Christmas season is after the kids are in bed? Yeah. And after they've grown up and moved out of the house, or when you can finally exhale and unclench your muscles and just relax a minute. Sometimes that's the peaceful time when the lights are turned down low, and maybe it's just the lights of the Christmas tree. And you think, if only it weren't bedtime, I'd have a cup of coffee and it'd be pretty nice. But even in those times, it can be a very not peaceful time, right? Because Christmas is a stressful time because it's, you know, you got to have the extra money saved up from the whole year to be able to buy Christmas presents. And I don't know about your family, but in my family, there's always somebody that we forgot and we've got to find a way to buy an extra Christmas present for those other 15 or 20 people that we had forgotten about. And it just always happens that way. And the bills still come and they still come in January and there's all of that. We live in a world where there's just a general lack of peace. There are wars going on. We just got out of this election season and there's still conflict and drama about new presidents coming in and new cabinets being appointed. And so there's all of that. I had somebody at the, we were down in Yahats yesterday for some of the Christmas festivities down there. And the guy at the guitar store just out of the blue started talking to me about political stuff. And it's just, you know, there's no peace on that end of the spectrum. Regardless of what side of things you're on, people want to talk about that kind of stuff. And it's just lack of peace about that. And it just seems like peace is so hard to find. And yet, that is part of what Jesus came to do and be for us that first Christmas. And this morning, I want us to read a verse of Scripture. Parrish, you can put your hand down. I want us to read a passage of Scripture that actually comes from right before Jesus' crucifixion. It's from Jesus talking that last night before he was arrested to his disciples. But it really speaks to what he came to do and came to be for us. And it's part of just God's design for who Jesus is and why Jesus came. And I think it speaks to us, at least it speaks to me, because I don't know about you, but I need some peace. I need some peace, and you need some peace. And so I'd like to look, if you will, at John 14, 27. It says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus here has been talking in this passage about the fact that he was going to be arrested, that he was going to be crucified, that he was going to be taken away from them. And in the midst of that, in the midst of what had to be a very difficult discussion with his disciples, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He says, "I've come to give you peace. Even in the midst of bad news, I've come to give you peace. Even in the midst of what has to be terrifying," right? These disciples have been walking with Jesus for 3 years. He has become for them their master, their Lord, their rabbi. He has become for them their everything. He has protected them. He has guided them. He has led them. He has helped them. He has taught them. And now he says, "I'm leaving. You're not going to see me anymore, except for a few days after the resurrection," which that just had to blow their minds. But Jesus says, "In the midst of all of this, I want you to know that you have my peace." The end of that verse, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." The disciples were facing terrifying times. And yet Jesus says, "I give you my peace." And scholars talk about this passage, and they talk about how what Jesus is saying when he says, I give you my peace, is really just a common form of saying goodbye in ancient times, right? I mean, you can imagine this with me because you've seen it. You see it in other passages of Scripture. Even when Jesus comes back after the resurrection and he meets them in the upper room, his greeting to them is peace. It was common when people met on the roads because it was a culture where things were very dangerous. And if you met a stranger on the road, you didn't know if they were coming to kill you or if they were just somebody nice passing by. And so a common greeting was, peace to you. I wish you peace. I come in peace. It was a common saying, a common phrase. And often when we bring that phrase into our world, we think about peace. We think about a couple of things. And that really brings us to our first point. And we're going to see four things about peace, four truths about peace. And the first is the nature of peace. The nature of peace. Jesus says, my peace, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. In the New Testament, we see two different kinds of peace mentioned, and either of them could be true of what Jesus is saying here, but the first kind of peace that we read about in the New Testament is the idea of being at peace with God, right? You guys are familiar with that concept in Scripture. The idea of having a peaceful relationship with God. And then the second is peace as part of our experience in life. That sense of calm, that sense of security, that sense of being spiritually at rest. And the reality is that for each and every one of us in this world, we enter into this world because of our sin nature, because we are born sinful, because we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We come into this world at enmity with God. We come into this world as God's enemies. Our sin makes us that way. Our sin puts us at odds with God. If you want to see that in Scripture, Romans chapter 5 is a good place to start. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. It says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." That first phrase there, "for if when we were enemies," tells us that there was a time before we knew Christ, before we had a relationship with him, that we were enemies with God. And we know from other places in Scripture that is the case because of our sin. God is a holy God. God cannot have sin in his presence. He will not have sin in his presence. And because of the sin in our life, it makes it so that we cannot be in a relationship with God. We cannot have fellowship with God. We cannot experience his blessings and his grace and his mercy while we are lost and are without Christ. Paul says later on in chapter 6 that the wages of our sin, what our sin earns for us, right? We're comfortable with the idea of wages and what we earn. What we earn because of our sin, according to the Apostle Paul, is death. And when he mentions death there, he's mentioning eternal separation from God. Our sin makes it so that we deserve death, eternal separation from God. But, Paul goes on in Romans chapter 6, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. God sent his son Jesus so that even though we were God's enemies, if we would repent of our sin and place our faith in Christ, we can be reconciled to God. We can have fellowship with God. We can have a new relationship with him where instead of being his enemies, now Scripture says we are his friends. Instead of being at enmity, instead of being at war with God, instead of shaking our fists at God, instead of rebelling against God, we can have a personal, peaceful, reconciled, new, made whole, made good, made right, friendly relationship with God. And the Bible describes that as peace. Because now, instead of being at odds, instead of being in conflict with the God of the universe, we now are reconciled to him. We now have peace with him. And there can be no true peace in this life as long as we are not reconciled to the God who made us, to the God who made this world. We will always be bumping our heads against the ceiling of that conflict with him until we get that conflict settled, and it's only settled in Christ. And that's one reason we say that during this Christmas season that Christ came to give us the gift of peace, because it's through him and in him that peace has been made possible with God. So we see that sense of the nature of peace. It's this idea of having peace in our relationship with God. But that's not the only peace that Jesus came to bring, and it's really not the peace that Jesus is talking about in John 14, 27. In this passage, Jesus is really talking about our experiential peace, us experiencing the reality of peace in our lives. He's talking about experiencing the tranquility of our souls. He's talking about having that settled, supernatural, permanent, and positive peace. That peace that our hearts so desperately long for. That peace that we're desiring when we come to the end of the day and we're exhausted and we think, I just need a little peace. That peace that we need when we're in that shopping mall and if we hear one more child scream, or our own children be rude to us one more time, or if we hear one more ding 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 of a bell, or whatever it may be, we're just going to have our heads explode because we need some peace, because our soul is unsettled, because our world is going crazy. We need some peace. And maybe it's just the stress of life that gets to us. Maybe it's the every time we go to the post office box, there's another bill there. Maybe it's the maybe it's the unsettled relationships with friends and family. We need peace. We need peace. And this is the peace that Jesus is talking about in this passage of Scripture, because he's talking about that unsettled reality of what the disciples are about to experience. And he's saying, I give you my peace. I want you to have peace. He, again, going back to the end of verse 27, he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I am giving you my peace. You don't have to be troubled. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be worried. You don't have to be stressed out, because I have come to be your peace. Not just I have come to be your peace, but I am going to the Father so that I might be your peace. That is the peace that he's talking about, that idea of peace in the middle of the storm. It's like back in the Middle Ages when they would build these fortified cities and castles, they would always build a part of the castle or a part of the city that they would refer to as the citadel, the most fortified section, the part with the strongest walls where they would keep the food and keep the important supplies. And it would be a place where if they were under attack and things were getting serious and things were getting difficult, people could go into the citadel and be there, and there would be greater protection and greater security. That's what Jesus is talking about. He wants to be for us is our citadel, our peace, our place where we find comfort, we find protection, we find provision, we find what we need so that our soul is at rest. But we find it in Christ. He says, I give you my peace. Philippians 4:9, if you want to flip over there real quick. In Philippians 4:9, Paul writes, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul refers to God as the God of peace. Again, Isaiah referred to this coming Messiah as the Prince of Peace. Both Old and New Testaments, we find the reference there to the fact that we want a relationship with God, in part because one of the things that he gives us is his peace. It's his nature. It's who he is. It's what he wants to do for us. And that really brings us to our second truth, which is the source of peace. The source of peace. Again, it says in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. This is not just any old peace, right? This isn't just some aspirational idea of some hippie from the 60s saying, peace, dude. Right? This is real peace, and it's real peace, and it's lasting peace, and it's a peace worth pursuing, because it's God's peace. It's peace that doesn't come from us. It's not manufactured by human beings. It is from God. He is the source of peace. And the peace that we experience in this world is based in who Christ is and what he has done for us. You see, we can have peace again because of what Christ accomplished for us on the cross and because of his resurrection. And if you think about it and you think really hard about all that Christ has done for you and who he is for you and just who he is, there is great peace to be found in that. Because you know what? No matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, what's the worst that can happen? You say, well, it could kill you. What did Paul say about that? The Apostle Paul said, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. If it kills me, guess what? I get to be with Jesus. Okay. I'm not living with a death wish, right? But I'll be okay. But to live, Paul says, to live is Christ. To live is to walk with him, to be with him, to have his presence with me, so that no matter what I go through, I know that he is there. No matter what I go through, no matter what I face, no matter what the diagnosis is, no matter how many bills come in, no matter how stressful things get at home, no matter how stressful things get at work, it doesn't matter because God is with me, because Christ lives within me, because His Holy Spirit dwells within me. So I don't have to worry anymore. I don't have to stress anymore. I just give it over to Him. Because it's not my life that I'm living anyway. I have been bought with a price, Scripture says. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives within me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's Him living through me, and that brings great, incredible peace because I can turn it all over to Him. And when I do that, what I find is that He helps me by His Holy Spirit. He helps me to know how to handle things. He helps me to understand what He wants me to do. He helps me to understand what He wants me to do next. And He's constantly there, kind of whispering spiritually to me to say, you know what? I love you. I care about you. I'm with you. And I find that that gives me peace. To be able to know that I have a right relationship with God, and because of that, I have His Spirit dwelling within me, gives me peace. Some of us get so stressed out and so wound up and so just, I don't know another word for it, but just, ugh, because we forget. We forget that God came to give us peace. His gift for us this Christmas is peace. That's what Christmas is about. He came to give us peace. We have the source of peace, the nature of peace. Third, the contrast of peace. John 14:27, there in the middle of it, He says, not as the world gives, do I give to you. So He says He's giving us peace, but it's not like the world's peace. The world talks about peace, and the world wants peace. The world longs for peace. Don't we hear the world complaining about needing peace? We live in a world that's full of war. And so the world tries to come up with ways to have peace. And we've seen it in the last year or so or actually 2 years in the situation in Israel and what's going on between Israel and Hamas. And we've seen them sign all kinds of peace treaties and all kinds of agreements that, okay, we'll stop shooting you if you stop shooting us. And then what happens? Somebody goes out and shoots somebody. And it all starts up all over again. And really, the best the world can offer is false peace. Did you know that since Jesus walked the earth, there have been over 15,000 wars? Over 15,000. Up until World War II, statistics say that there were 2.6 wars per year. 2.6, and not just carrying over wars, but 2.6 new wars every year in the years leading up to World War II. Since World War II, there have been 3 wars, new wars, per year somewhere on the earth. I don't know about you, but that just seems like a lot of war going on. That seems like a severe absence of peace in the world. This world's peace at best is shallow and unfulfilling. Most attempts at peace in this world are really just attempts to get out of trouble, to get out of conflict, to avoid problems. I really believe that that's why so many people become alcoholics and drug addicts, is because they're trying to escape some form of pain, to find some form of peace, to find some sort of getting away from their problems and their hurts and their struggles. And so they don't know where else to look. They don't know that there's a Christ who has come to save them from those things that can give them real, lasting, eternal peace. So they do the best they can and they look to the world's solutions, and the world's solutions just dull the pain for a little while. And it dulls the pain for a little while, and so they have a little more when the pain comes back. And the way these things go, it's the law of diminishing returns. Every time you take a little more, it takes a little more to dull the pain the next time. And it just feeds on itself and feeds on itself until it wrecks your life. That is the peace of this world. Or in the therapeutic counseling of this world that is so often offered, that's supposed to help, but there's never truly a solution. There's never truly healing that happens. It's just salving the wound for a little bit so that you continue to line the pockets of the people who are just giving you other advice and other advice and other advice. And it's just more of the world's advice, when the real thing that we need, the real peace that we need, is found in Christ. It's the Holy Spirit transforming our hearts and giving us God's peace, because He is, as Scripture just said, He is the God of peace. He wants His peace to reign in our hearts. And His peace is not like the world's peace. It isn't temporary. It isn't unsatisfying. It isn't just putting on blinders and going to bed and hoping that it feels better in the morning. His peace is lasting and real and can transform our lives. The world's peace is really an illusion. But real peace can be found in Christ. And that kind of brings us to our last point, which is the result of peace. The result of peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We are to lay a hold of this peace. In other words, we have to receive this peace. He has made His peace available to us, but we have to receive it. We have to want it. We have to say, yes, Lord, I need Your peace. We need to confess to Him that we need it and apply it to our life. Colossians 3:15. If we turn over there, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, in which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." Let the peace of God rule in your heart. In other words, we have to choose to let God's peace function in our life as a ruling principle. The idea of the phrase there is to serve as an umpire. We kind of get that idea, right? We've probably seen enough baseball to understand that the umpire is the one who gets to set the rules, who makes sure that the rules are followed. We need to let the God of peace and the peace that He brings serve as an umpire to rule in our hearts and in our lives. We need to let God help us to know His will, to guide our life, to help us know what decisions that we need to make. We need to consider what decisions that we make will bring us the greatest sense of God's peace. As we're thinking about, what do I do? How do I make this decision or that decision? Which option is it that helps you to become more like Christ? Which option is it that helps you to know and experience more of God's peace? That doesn't mean that the option is always the easy one, right? Because sometimes God's peace comes to us in difficult circumstances. That's what Jesus is telling his disciples here. He's not telling them it's going to be easy. He's telling them that he's going to give them peace in the midst of hardship, in the midst of struggle. So we have to do sometimes some real spiritual discernment to know where God's peace is going to be most available. But it's important because peace can help keep us from sin. When we, I don't like the phrase fall into sin. We don't fall into sin. You fall into a ditch. We tend to run into sin. We tend to go headlong as sinful human beings. We tend to choose sin and do sin and you know, I think of sin. I sometimes relate it to eating vegetables, right? If sin were like vegetables, nobody would do it, okay? But sin is like cake. We all want cake. There were like 3 pans of cookies back in the kitchen. And I know the kids went after them first, but I saw you adults, all right? Sin is like that. We go for it like that because sin is pleasurable. We like sin, but you know what we don't like? We don't like the way we feel after we sin. Just like sometimes we don't like the way we feel or the way we look after we've eaten a pan of cookies. God wants us to experience His peace. And if we keep in mind that we want God's peace, it will help us avoid that sin because we know we don't want that sin to separate us from God. We don't want that sin to damage our fellowship with God. We don't want that sin to make us feel that guilt that we naturally feel. You know, just like if I were to hold my hand over the flame of the candle, it would burn. And that burn is a good thing because it tells me to take my hand away from the candle. Guilt is that pain sensor for our souls. Guilt is that thing that tells us that we have done something wrong, that we've done something that is against God's will for us, and we need to stop doing that. And when we figure out stop doing that, then we stop experiencing guilt and we experience God's peace. Peace can help us keep from sin. Peace is also a source of strength in the midst of trial. Think about Stephen, one of those first deacons. You remember the story of Stephen. Stephen had been serving Christ, and of course the religious leaders didn't like that, so they had Stephen tried and had him stoned. But even in the midst of being stoned, what happened with Stephen? Just like Jesus, he says, Father, forgive them. He is at peace. Even in the midst of horrible pain and agony, right? They say, scholars say, that they would bury a person up to their waist. and then stand on top of a cliff and throw giant, not little, you know, little rocks, but big rocks down upon someone until they died and were basically just crushed to death. That's what stoning was. That's what stoning is. They still do that to people today in the Middle East. And Stephen was going through that and said, "Father, forgive them." Even in the midst of something horrible, Stephen was at peace. Paul went through horrible, horrible trials and tortures and experienced God's peace. God wants us to know his peace, even in the midst of hardship, even in the midst of difficulty, because didn't Jesus also say, in this world you will have trouble? But I've come that you might have peace. He comes and gives us his peace. Even in the midst of hardship, even in the midst of trials. As believers, we have perfect peace in the midst of trouble because we are able to take our focus off of the problem and put it on Christ. That's one of the great things about being in Christ, about knowing Christ, is that we're not stuck bearing our burdens alone. But we can turn to Christ and know his peace. And so let me ask you this morning, do you have the peace of Christ in your life? Have you received that incredible gift of God's peace? Because it's one of those gifts that he gives us, and he gives it to us when we repent of our sin and we place our faith in Christ. It's one of those fruits that the Holy Spirit grows in us. Paul talks about it in Galatians chapter 5 when he lists the fruit of the Spirit. I believe it's number 3, right? Love, joy, peace. He gives us his peace. Both lack of conflict, but also that sense of rightness with him, that sense of supernatural calm that he gives us to be able to weather the storms. And this morning, I want you to know that you can know real peace. If you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, you can do that today. You can begin having that peace in your life today. All you have to do, according to Scripture, is repent of your sin and place your faith in Jesus. If you've never done that, we're going to have a time of invitation here in just a moment. And it's a time for you to respond to what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. And so I invite you to come and just talk to me if you need to receive Jesus as your Savior. If there's anything else going on in your life, maybe you just need prayer, whatever it is, you respond as the Lord leads. Let's pray, and then we'll sing our hymn of invitation together, and you respond as he leads. Father, I thank you for your love and your grace. I thank you for the peace that you've made available to us in Jesus Christ. And Father, I just pray that you would have your way in our hearts and lives this morning. I pray that maybe today that you would do that work of reconciling people to yourself, of bringing spiritual peace and experiential peace into people's hearts and lives. Lord, have your way in us and be honored and glorified in us as we are obedient to your Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.